worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep. And bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Just the sheep.
Song this morning is How Great Is Our God.
The earth rejoice. is our God.
I invite you to be seated. We have several announcements, so you may as well be comfortable to hear them all. Today is World Communion Sunday, and you'll notice the display of different breads up front and some different colors floating around. We come together with Christians around the world to celebrate on this day. There is a little envelope that if you would like to donate for this special giving Sunday. Today's offering for the special gift is to, what's it go for? Somebody who has a paper, tell me. Young adults to become teachers. Thank you. There you go. So if you want to help with that, otherwise just put your regular offering in the regular offering plate and in a regular envelope, and we'll make sure they get separated to the right places. Also want to let you know that we are still collecting money for gloves out in the narthex. They are $20 a pair. So if you will helping our friends who are experiencing homelessness. So if you want to help with that, please do. Oh, and Belinda, excuse me for a minute. Kevin's got 40 bags from the foundation. Just so you know. I forgot to tell you that. Anyway, bags to put them in, so we need a few more, but that's a good start. So if you'd help with that, that's November 3rd. And then Crop Walk is coming up, and we'll see more about that in just a minute. You can register out there to walk or to rock or just to sponsor someone. This helps for people experiencing hunger issues. So if you would help with that. And let's do the video in just a second. We're going to hear from Jean Bowen first. Jean is the chair of the SPR committee, and I know often when the SPR chair stands up, people get worried and scared. Don't be. This is good news.
I was just going to say that.
Oh, sorry. I just don't want them to be afraid.
Well, exactly. Because I've had to stand up and say some things that we didn't look forward to, and then some that we were wildly excited about, and this comes under the heading of wildly excited. Larissa Huffman has graciously decided to take on our youth ministry. So her title will change from Children and Family Ministry to Children, Youth, and Family Ministry. We're going to just see if we can kill her. She'll need our help. Of course she will, because this is a lot. But she does such a good job with the other two ministries. She feels confident that she can take us forward and better than almost anybody else in this church. She knows these people. She knows this group of youth, and she's very excited. So we just want to support her and just say, thank you, God. She said yes.
Appreciate you sharing that. That is exciting news. One of the things that people told me is this church supports their youth. Well, it takes more to support them than just saying, good job, Larissa, which you need to say that as often as you can. But if there are other ways you would like to support the youth, now I can tell you, see Larissa, and she would be happy to hear of ways you might help support them throughout the year ahead. Also want to let you know about Crop Walk. I've mentioned it, but we have a video to show you about the things that Crop Walk does. Thank you. It's important. It's also kind of fun to go and do the crop walk. So if you can help with that, please let us know. I encourage you now to take a moment to greet each other, say hello to someone new. And there's a lot of spaces right here. Those of you who are way back there, feel free to come up if you'd like to. We're lonely up here in the front. Let's take a minute to greet each other. As we come back together, as I invite you to come back together,
okay. Yeah, you are. It's difficult.
Actually, it's time for prayer concerns. Okay. Is the offering plate going around?
We might have to work on this. Well, this doesn't flow for me. I'm glad I've been doing this while you're going around.
Our third song this morning, as the plate and the book are going around, is Sanctuary.
Did see.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary.
Scripture this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34, found in your Bible on page 933. Now, in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For to begin with, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. Indeed, there have to be factions among you, for only so will it become clear who among you are genuine. When you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. For when the time comes to eat, each of you goes ahead with your own supper, and one goes hungry and another becomes drunk. What? Do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you? In this matter, I do not commend you. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If you are hungry, eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for your condemnation. About the other things, I will give instructions when I come." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Lynn. Sometimes Rebecca and I don't know what we're doing when it comes to who's doing what, when, and where. But one of the things that I'm amazed about, and this just struck me as we were singing Sanctuary, is somehow it all comes together the where in the places it's supposed to. The song Sanctuary, come and fill me with your spirit. And I feel that happening in this place, even in the midst of our human mess-ups a little bit here and there. There's something about that, isn't there? About that spirit and that we feel it. As you know, we are doing a series, this is the last Sunday, of Back to Basics, talking about those things in our Christian faith, those tenets of our faith that help us, inform us, and teach us. And we've been looking at the basic understandings, maybe, but also stretching ourselves to understand and grow in what those may mean for us, understanding things in a different way. Someone said to me, you missed one. I probably missed a lot, but I did God with Rusty Butler, you'll remember, a few weeks ago. And last week we talked about Jesus, and that was good. And someone said, you forgot the Holy Spirit. I didn't forget the Holy Spirit. I'm just sneaking the Holy Spirit in on Communion Sunday. So for those of you who were worried about where in the Trinity, why I had left that piece out, I didn't. Sometimes I'll sneak in on something in on you like that. But the reason I think that the Communion Sunday is about the Holy Spirit is my own experience. And we'll get there in just a minute. But there's something about communion and what communion is about and what it means and what it stands for in our lives that is so important. Communion is one of two sacraments in the Methodist Church. We have communion and baptism. Now, some of you may be from a tradition that has many more sacraments, but we have the two. And when you only have two of something, they must both be very important, aren't they? The reason we say that those are our two sacraments are those are the two that we see Jesus actually starting or instituting in the Bible. The two where we see the stories of Jesus actually doing those. It doesn't mean that the other denominations that have others are wrong. It's just a different way of looking at it. And on this World Communion Sunday, we certainly don't want to say anyone else's communion is wrong as we come together to the table. Some churches have moved away from the tradition of World Communion Sunday. It was started in 1934 by the Presbyterian Church, and they invited others to join in. And by 1940, the National Council of Churches had all joined together, and that's when many came together. It was a time in our country in 1940 when we needed to come together in ways that we could say, yes, we are one. And then it expanded throughout the world. World Communion Sunday, like I said, has lost favor, but for me, it will never lose favor. 24 years ago on World Communion Sunday was one of the most important moments in my life. And I'll tell you about it in a minute. World Communion Sunday is that time of coming together to take communion. Most Methodist churches, including this one, have communion once a month, usually that first Sunday of the month. I don't know how we got into that tradition of that being when we have communion, but you can go to about any Methodist church on that first Sunday and they'll be offering communion. And it's something about that that's kind of nice to be a part of that tradition. And there's nothing magical about the first Sunday of the month or why we have communion there. But some of the things that are important about communion in the Methodist church is what's happening in this time of communion. What happens here? Now, some traditions, particularly the Catholic tradition, believe that at the time of the blessing of the elements, the blessing of the bread and the cup, when we do that blessing, that the bread and the cup actually become the body and blood of Christ. This is called transubstantiation. That's a great word for a crossword puzzle. Transubstantiation, that it actually becomes those things. In the Methodist Church, we don't believe that. We believe that Jesus is present at our table, in us and around us and through us, and to me that would be the Holy Spirit. We believe that Jesus is here, but that bread has not actually become the body of Jesus. So there's a slight difference. You can see that difference. The idea of the body and blood of Jesus got the early Christians in trouble, because they would come to the table and then they would go back out in the world and say, I have eaten of the body of Christ. And when people heard that, they thought that somehow people had preserved Jesus' body and were literally eating of it. Not a good way to start a new religion. people didn't think cannibalism was the way to go. And that was never what was happening, and it was never what was intended. But it's what people heard somehow. You know, people will hear all kinds of things. But what really it was a representation. Because Jesus said, do this to remember me. And people, for the most part, did a pretty good job of that in remembering Jesus. Except the church at Corinth. That was scathing, that scripture you read to us. Did you hear some of those things? Should I commend you in this? No, I won't. You're doing it all wrong, writes Paul. You're doing things that make no sense. You've forgotten why you come to the table. You forgot, and it's become a competition. The next section that starts in chapter 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and the people in Corinth were having all kinds of problems about the gifts of the Spirit. They were saying things like, my gift is better than yours, so I have a higher position in the church. You don't have a gift. You're not even allowed here. And Paul's saying, no, that's wrong. That's not the way we do it. At the table, at Jesus' table, everybody is welcome. Everybody's welcome. Doesn't matter if they've had a gift or not. It's not up to you, church, to decide. And are you making this a party? Because it's not about that. She read that you come and you eat too much. You even get drunk. And that's probably not what we're supposed to do as we approach this table. It's a representation to help us remember Jesus. It's not about eating so much that you become physically full or drinking so much. It's that you come to be filled up in a different way, filled by the Spirit. And Paul is angry. And he says, you need to get this right. You need to remember what I told you, what the Last Supper really represents. You, people of the church, need to remember communion. And if you're not right, if you're not doing it correctly, maybe you shouldn't be having communion. I've thought a lot about that over the years of my life, because there's been a Sunday or 50 or more in my life when I came to communion Sunday and didn't think I should probably be there. I was in a bad mood. Some of you may be in a bad mood today. I won't ask for a show of hands, but you know who you are. Some of you may have come to this moment barely making it here. You might have rushed out the door. You might have come here and felt kind of grumpy. And according to Paul, maybe you should just sit in your seat. Maybe you shouldn't come forward for communion. Well, I'll be watching for you now. No. Maybe you've had one of those days. I've had those days before, when I didn't really feel like being here, and I just wish the preacher would hurry up so we could get to communion, so we could get done, and we could go home and have lunch. Have you ever had that moment in church? None of you are going to admit to it, but you've been there. I know. I know that because you're people. You're people, and none of you are perfect yet. Oh, some of you may be closer than others of us, but you haven't gotten there yet. And some of you are trying really hard, but you haven't gotten there yet. And some of you remember it's Communion Sunday and say, oh, it's going to go long. I don't know. The worst thing that can happen in Colorado is when Communion Sunday and an 11 o'clock kickoff are the same day. It's bad news. But you should come to communion anyway, and I know this to be true for this reason. One time, I had 3 children under the age of 7, and it was Communion Sunday, World Communion Sunday. 24 years ago, to be exact, and this is why I'll always celebrate World Communion Sunday. 24 years ago, World Communion Sunday, and we were late. We couldn't find 6 shoes that all went together and matched the feet. We couldn't get the bows in the hair right. We couldn't, you know. And about the time we were finally ready to walk out the door, I picked up the 18-month-old. Grabbed him because he wasn't going to come. You know how they were. And I grabbed him, and I must have squeezed him a little too hard because up came breakfast. You remember those days, some of you. You remember. And you think you'll never get out the door. But we did. We got there. And boy, was I relieved to see those Sunday school teachers and to see that nursery and to say, here you go. Maybe that makes me a bad mother, but I think it just makes me an honest mother. To say I needed time and space for myself, I needed a little break from you children. And then the associate pastor preached. Oh, it was an awful sermon. I've told her that since. It was an awful sermon, and I don't even know what she was talking about, and I didn't at the time. it maybe was a really good sermon. I don't know. I was in a bad mood, and I just wanted her to get done so we could get to communion so I could go and have lunch with my friends and get better. Have you ever had that day? Some of you are having it right now, but you know that day. So according to Paul, was I in the place to have communion? Probably not. I was cranky. I was bad. But God still was at work. And then at church, this man sat near me that had never been to the church before. And so it was finally time for communion. And I realized the kind of communion we were going to do. We were going to do that kind where you line up at the rails. Some of you remember that. And then the pastor blesses you. And then that group goes out. And then the next and the next. And it takes like forever, especially if you're in a bad mood. And this man leans over to me and he said, I've never been to this church before. What do I do? I wanted to say, just do what everybody else is doing because that's what we do in church. But I did remember enough to say to him, it'll be all right. Just follow me out the pew and we'll kneel at the rail. Finally, our turn came and we knelt at the rail. And I received the bread and I thought they would never get my cup passed out to me. I was in a bad mood. And all of a sudden, kneeling there, I felt something. Something really strong and powerful. Maybe electrical, almost. And I looked down the aisle to see if anybody else was jumping or feeling that, and they all looked the same. And the pastor blessed us, and we stood up, and I started to walk back down the center aisle to my seat, and it hit me. It hit me so hard that God loves even me. God loves even me. Now, I always had said God loved me, but in that moment, I knew it. Deep in my heart, I felt it fill me up. And I knew that that was the power of the Holy Spirit. Even though I came to communion wrong, even though. So today, no matter what position you're in or where you are or what's in your heart, come to communion. Come to communion and experience God's Holy Spirit, God's grace. Because that's truly what I felt in that time. It was God's grace. God's grace is what communion is all about. We talk about that being an outward and visible sign of God's inner working grace. The outward invisible sign is the bread and the cup. That's what we see. But the inner working grace, and God was sure at work at me on that day. Sure at work. If I had stayed in my seat because I was grumpy or cranky, I would have missed out on that movement of the Spirit for myself. So Paul says to come to communion correctly. And what does that really look like? He said, don't come hungry, but maybe you are to come hungry. He said, don't come when you're not taking care of the rest of the world, but maybe that's when you should come. Because I would tell you that somewhere between your seat and coming back, you might experience God as well. Maybe when you receive the bread, maybe in your time of prayer, as you approach communion, maybe you'll experience God. So when and how should we come to the Lord's table? Just yes. Wesley said we should come as often as we can. And maybe Paul's indictment of the church was because they weren't open to the Spirit. Maybe they weren't open to God amongst them, that Spirit filling them. We know that the disciples were worried about a lot of stuff when Jesus brought them together that night. But he didn't say, come to my table only when you're pure. I don't know all of you and where you are right this moment, but I bet that 100% of you aren't right with God in this second. I'd almost bet that. And I think I'd be right, and it's okay, because the table is open. That's one of the amazing things to me about the Methodist Church's table. It's not our table. It's the table of Jesus. And so you're always welcome to this table, whether you're a member of this church or not, whether you're a member of any church or not. Just are you willing? Are you ready to experience God's grace, God's Holy Spirit in your life? Because let me tell you something. If it weren't for that communion Sunday 24 years ago, that communion Sunday when I didn't even want to be in church, that communion Sunday when I felt God's grace, I wouldn't be standing before you today. I wouldn't have a message to share. I wouldn't be here because I wouldn't have opened myself to that unknowingly. I didn't intentionally. But when you come to this representation of remembering and experiencing Christ at our table, open and filled by the Spirit, what will happen for you today on this World Communion Sunday? What will happen for you when you come to this table? I don't know. And maybe nothing. But what I also know is you don't know who will be moved by God's Spirit. And you all have a hand in that when we come to communion. We all have a hand in praying for and helping each other. You don't know what each other needs, but you can offer those prayers. We come to that time of communion. Go ahead. We come to that time of celebrating communion with Christians around the world, believing that Jesus is present with us, believing that God is here in this place. I invite you to join us in the communion litany you'll see on the screen as it comes up here in a minute. Join us. Open your heart. Ask that this time of communion for you would be more than ever, more, and that would encourage you to feel God's Spirit. Please join me in the communion litany. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Now let's sing. It is a right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You created for yourself a world filled with diversity and blessed by your breath of life. Rainbow colors bloom in the spring. Summer breezes bring garden delights. And now, as autumn comes our way, we see the work of your paintbrush upon every face and every tree. In mercy, while we still held to the chains of our winter, of pride, self-righteousness, and historic egos, you loved us steadfastly, and you delivered us as babies to reflect the beauty and diversity of your grace, to bring us into a community of love, hope, and peace. And so, with all your people on earth, in every place where two or more are gathered in your name, and all the company of heaven who have gone before us, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Worthy are you.
Are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him and anoints each of us to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. Jesus healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by the Spirit. Jesus prayed that we might be one as he is one with you, God. And he asked that we might be known by the love we have for one another. On the night that Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread. And he asked God to bless it. Pour out your Spirit on this to make it represent my body. And he broke that bread and lifted it up and offered it to each disciple and said, eat from this as often as you will in remembrance of me. And after they had had supper, he took the cup and again he lifted it to God and said, pour out your Spirit on this cup. Pour out your Spirit to make it represent for all of us the cup of the new covenant, poured out for everyone here, that they too would feel God's grace and God's Spirit. Do this as often as you will in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the great mystery of faith.
Jesus, you died for us.
We come to this time to remember God, to remember Jesus, to remember the Spirit which offers us grace. We come remembering all that we are taught and know. We are remembering to open ourselves to new things and new understandings. We come remembering the prayer that your Son taught us as we pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we celebrate World Communion Sunday, as we come to the table that is open to all of you, I want to try something a little different today. We want to serve communion to one another. And to do that, this is the gluten-free part of communion, but if you would just come forward and offer the bread to the person behind you in line. So I would take the basket, and I'd offer the bread to Lynn, and she would receive that and dip it in the cup, and then she would take the basket and extend the bread to the next person. You could say something like, Jesus loves you. You could say, the body and blood of Christ given for you. You can say, the cup of hope, the bread of life, whatever suits you as you reach to your neighbor to share with them, to welcome each person as they come. And to remember that you don't know, but you should be praying for them anyway. I invite you to come to receive the bread and the cup.
Mystery.
this bread, take this wine, simple made divine, for any to receive. By your mercy we come to your table, by your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you, and remembrance leads us to worship. As we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We remember you. See his body, his blood, he has overcome every trial we will face. None too lost to be saved, none too broken or ashamed, all are welcome in this place. By your mercy we come to your table, by your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we and as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We remember you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your table, for your Son, and for your Spirit. Your Spirit that fills us with your grace, no matter where we are when we come to communion. May we leave in a better, more filled place. Be with us as we leave your table, as we leave this church, as we go into the world. Help us to remember that we are part of something bigger than ourselves, part of that which you offer us. Amen.
And let's stand for our final song, We Are Blessed.
Let us praise God with our voices. Let us
everyone.